Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, perfection of renunciation, text number 74. Sanjaya vacha, ityaham vasudevasya, parthasya cha mahatmanaha, sambadami mam ashrosam, adbhutam ramaharshanam, Sanjaya vacha, Sanjaya said, iti, thus, aham, I, vasudevasya, of Krishna, parthasya, and Arjuna, cha, also, maha-atmanaha, of the great soul, sambadam, discussion, imam, this, ashosam, have heard, adbhutam, wonderful, ramaharshanam, making the hair stand on end. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus I have heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna, and so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end. Purport. The beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra inquired from his secretary Sanjaya, what happened on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? The entire study was related to the heart of Sanjaya by the grace of his spiritual master, Vyas. He thus explained the theme of the battlefield. The conversation is wonderful, because such an important conversation between two great souls had never taken place before. It would not take place again. It was wonderful because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was speaking about himself and his energies to the living entity Arjuna, a great devotee of the Lord. We follow in the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna, then our life will be happy and successful. Sanjaya realized this, and as he began to understand it, he related the conversation to Dhritarashtra. Now it is concluded that wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there is victory. The idea is to put Krishna in our heart. Premanjana Trita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksadaivarideyeshu Vilokayanti Yamshaima Sundaram Achintya Guna Svarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Pujami. That Lord Brahma prays that Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilo Chanena. That one whose eyes are smeared with the pulp of love can see Shyama Sundar within his heart. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilo Santak Sadaivari Dayeshu Vilokaya. Yam Shyama Sundar Machintya Guru Swarupam, with his inconceivable wonderful qualities. So Sanjaya was fortunate that he was able to experience Krishna and Arjuna and the entire battlefield as it was going on. That sometimes we give the expression, take it within your heart. So that's what he did. He had taken the entire Bhagavad Gita within his heart, and therefore he was experiencing Krishna at every level, and Arjuna, and their conversation, and therefore his hair was standing on end. Out of ecstasy. Hair standing on end is one of the sattvika bhavas that comes about when one is experiencing ecstasy, when the air of life, when the spiritual potency influences the air of life, vata, then the hairs stand on end. So we can experience the same thing if we take the Bhagavad Gita seriously and hear from Krishna as he spoke to Arjuna, and then have it explained to us, or from Krishna's representative, what Krishna was trying to say. Because what part of what Krishna is saying is that we have to become a servant of Krishna's servants. Therefore, if that is missing from the philosophy, it's missing from our lives, then, of course, how can we understand Bhagavad Gita? Because that's what Krishna is saying. Or we could say, as much as we actually take shelter of the disciples' succession, of which anyone who's hearing from Prabhupada and trying to follow his instructions, they're part of the disciples' succession to one degree or another. That the more we work to serve Krishna and his mission, the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the more Krishna reveals to us within our heart his personal nature. That's what he says in Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyaschasmi tatvataha tatamam tatvato gyatva vishite tad anantaram. That one can understand me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by devotional service, and when one is fully absorbed in such devotion, then he can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So it rests with us to do something for Krishna, but it should be for Krishna. And if we're working to please Krishna according to what he wants through his representatives, then the result is that naturally we'll think about Krishna, and the more our minds are absorbed in Krishna, the more we'll experience Krishna. One of the suggestions Prabhupada gave about chanting Hare Krishna is we should chant and then try to feel Krishna's presence. We have feelings. Everyone has feelings. The question is what we're directing the feelings to. If we don't direct them to Krishna, then we'll have to direct them to the material energy. Or as much as we direct them to Krishna, and Krishna allows us to experience his nature, the spiritual energy, then to that extent, we won't be seeking so much trying to feel the material energy, experience the material energy. So it's not a question of just doing our activities mechanically, although in the beginning that's all we can do. But it's also a question of trying to understand Krishna. And eventually when we can chant Hare Krishna and spontaneously remember Krishna, then also try to feel Krishna. Or when we're chanting, try to feel the presence of the holy name. If Krishna and his name are not different, then if he's present there, we should be able to experience him. Because we have spiritual senses, and Krishna is spiritual, and therefore we try to experience Krishna, then we'll experience something spiritual. Otherwise, we're using our spiritual senses to experience the material energy. Otherwise, how can we be experiencing the material energy unless we're using our spiritual senses to do it? We're the ones who are experiencing it. But the material energy is perverted reflection of the actual spiritual energy. So we can experience this material energy, why can't we experience the spiritual energy? And if the holy name is completely spiritual, the holy names, then if we pay attention and try to experience them, then we should be able to experience the presence of Krishna in his name, and his name's Hare Krishna. Just a question of having the right mood and the right attitude. Because the spiritual world, everything is blissful, everything is loving, there's only prema there. So we have to become like fire. If you enter into fire, you have to become like fire. So as much as we become spiritual in our mood and our activities, then to that extent we can actually enter into the fire of Krishna consciousness. Of course, when Krishna sees we're simply trying to become Krishna conscious, trying to become conscious of him, try to feel him, then he'll give us the intelligence how to do it. Because ultimately we're depending upon Krishna to give us intelligence to do anything. So if that's what we want, if that's what we sincerely want, then Krishna will give us the intelligence how to experience his presence, how to become experience what's called Krishna consciousness, being conscious of Krishna, being conscious of Srimati Radharani. They want that, and if that's what we want, then they'll reciprocate with us. So Sanjaya was talking to Dhritarashtra, not exactly the purest of all devotees, but still it was the desire of Vyasadeva, so he could put it in the Mahabharata, the most important part of the history of Bharatvarsha, is this Bhagavad Gita, explaining, especially Bhagavad Gita, the most significant thing that happened on this planet, besides Krishna's pastimes, 5,000 years ago, is when he spoke Bhagavad Gita, which is even more important to us than even Krishna's pastimes 5,000 years ago, because there's no way we can have access to them unless we not only hear the Bhagavad Gita, but understand it and then apply it within our lives, and then we'll be able to, then we'll become eligible to experience Krishna's pastimes. Otherwise, if we don't follow, if we don't hear Bhagavad Gita, try to assimilate it and understand it, then Krishna's pastimes will seem something mythological to us, or something rather different from what they actually are. And here it mentions that this is the first time such a conversation was there. It never took place before. Well, probably never took place before in Kali Yuga, right before Kali Yuga. Because Krishna had already said he had spoken to the sun god the same information millions of years ago. So this Bhagavad Gita is not some new philosophy. It's eternal philosophy. So Krishna has been speaking Bhagavad Gita eternally, ever since it's been a creation. And he's been living it in the spiritual world eternally. After all, the essence of Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna is the Supreme Person, all attractive Supreme Person. Everyone is his servant, and it's our business to serve Krishna. So that's going on eternally. And will not take place again, maybe not take place again in Kali Yuga, in this particular yuga we're in, but it will take place again. It's going on again and again. In so many universes, and Krishna is presenting it in so many different ways, at so many different circumstances. But if we follow the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna, then our life will be happy and successful. So if we act as a representative of Krishna, as an instrument for Krishna, then our life will be surely, truly successful and happy. And if we don't know what Krishna wants us to do, we don't become an instrument for Krishna, then our life can't be happy. And whatever we accomplish in the material world will not be really success. It'll simply be another aspect of illusion. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you. Where is Krishna and Arjuna, there is victory.
Victory over the illusory energy. After all, there are so many kings who have come, and they fought with other kings to conquer the world. And even if they conquer the world, like Hiranyakashipu, still at the end they die anyhow. So what kind of victory is that? If you conquer the whole universe, but you don't conquer your senses, and after conquering the universe, you have to go to the darkest regions of existence, what kind of victory is that? But if one becomes Krishna conscious and goes back to the spiritual world, that's what's really victory, victory over the illusory energy. That's real victory. Get out of the material concept of life and restore our spiritual consciousness and our relation with Krishna. That's real victory. Everything else is could be aiming towards victory or a complete failure. And we make progress towards Krishna, that's victorious also. But if we don't, then we're just wasting our time serving illusion, which doesn't benefit us, doesn't benefit anyone. So therefore it's called, it's a failure. Human life is a test, is an opportunity to get out of illusion and go back to Krishna, to our eternal service to Him. But if we don't do that, then we're considered to be a failure. So it's like if you don't pass your test in school, you don't pass the test, then you have to come back and take a retest. Or you may not even go up. You may have to come back and start year one again. So it's considered you failed the test. So if we don't graduate and go back to the spiritual world, we're considered failures. Does that make sense? Anything else? Hala, Granth Raj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.